Hi folks, this is Bart from BartB.ie, back again for part 13 of my Introduction to the Terminal series here on the Typical Mac User Podcast. Now, last time we had done an old theory episode where I explained the sort of crucial things about networking, which are basically IP address, network address, subnet mask, default gateway, or default router as it's sometimes called. And I said that we were doing all of this with a simplification. We were ignoring something called NAT. Well, today it's time to unignore that which we ignored last time. This is the last bit of networking theory we're going to do. We've done a lot of it. There's been a lot of episodes now where we've been looking, first of all, at the big picture theory, then at, you know, more subtle bits of theory. We've done an awful lot of theory and very few commands. And don't worry, that's not the way we're going to keep going. After this week's installment, it's going to be practical again because we'll have the theory out of the way for a while. So, last time I had said that IP addresses were unique across the internet. And that is absolutely true for traffic which flows on the public internet. There cannot be two machines with the same IP address on the public internet. But the internet is not all public. So we introduced the idea of local traffic. Traffic that never makes it out onto the internet doesn't have to abide by those rules. And you know, specifically for that reason, there's entire blocks of the IP address ranges that are marked off as being for the purpose, excuse me, of addresses that don't go out on the public internet. There are a few of these ranges, but the two you tend to come across are 10.*.*.* or 192.168.*.*. So these addresses can exist a million and one times as long as they never come onto the public internet. So I can have them in my house, you can have them in your house, and in fact you probably do. I have a Linksys router and therefore I end up at 192.168 addresses. Apparently Apple's airports like to give out 10 addresses. You know, I can guarantee you that there are millions of other people around the world with exactly the same local IP address as my machine has. But you may say, hang on a sec, yes, we have these local IP addresses in our house, but we can still communicate on the internet. So that whole thing about it not being able to work on the public internet is obviously not true because, well, we're communicating with the internet even though we all have these private addresses that aren't allowed on the internet. What's going on here? And the what's going on here is NAT, or network address translation. Basically, think of NAT as being a way to share IP addresses. What actually happens, in effect, is that everyone in your house shares one public IP address, the public IP address of your router. And all the traffic from all of the machines in your house appears to be coming from that one single IP address, and therefore it can be routed around the internet, because that one world-facing address on your router is indeed unique across the planet, because it has to be. So what happens when you connect to a website from within, you know, from a private address within your network? Well, what happens is that you are using, you know, a 10 address, we'll say, and you try to make the outgoing connection, but your default gateway is your NAT router. So the NAT router gets the packet in, says, oh, this is a private address, can't be going on the internet with that now. So it opens up the packet and places its own IP address within it, and then shoots it out on the internet and takes a record of the fact that it has this connection, and it knows that the private address associated with this connection is, say, you know, Bart's laptop. Traffic goes out to the internet, arrives at the web server, perfectly valid, it has a return address, which is a public IP address. The web server does its magic, packages up the web page it wants to send, shoots the packets back to your router gets them, says, ah, okay, this has come from the outside world, I must now translate it back the other way. It looks up its little table of who all has what connection, says, ah, yes, it was Bart that was talking to that web server over there, retranslates the packet, strips out the public IP address, sticks back in my private address, and sends it onto my local area network, where it plops back into my Mac. And that process simply goes on and on and on. However, the key point here is that all incoming traffic must belong to a connection that was initiated from the inside out, because otherwise your router has no idea which of the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 machines within your network it should send that packet to. And that leads to a side effect that's fantastically useful. Your NAT router is a fantastic firewall. Traffic you didn't ask for cannot come in because the router doesn't know which of the machines it should send it to, so it drops the traffic. Wonderful firewalling. Now, there are a few ways, you know, that has some negative side effects as well. If you need to take incoming connections, you can't unless you do some special configuration and basically tell your router that anything at all, regardless of whether it's from a connection you know that comes in on some port number, should get forwarded to this particular private IP address within the network, and that's called port forwarding. And you often have to do that for gaming and stuff. Now, this is complicated, messy, and annoying. So there was a protocol created to allow you to do it all automatically. And that protocol is called Universal Plug and Play, or UPnP. Now, UPnP means that you can do all this stuff automatically, but it also means that any malware that gets into your network can do it behind your back automatically too. And you're basically, to a large extent, giving up the extra security that you got from using NAT in the first place. So a lot of security experts tell you it is wise to go into your router configuration and turn off UPnP. Personally, I agree with that advice, and I do it. How and ever, as with just about all security advice, you're trading off convenience for security. I've chosen to err on the side of security. You may choose to err on the side of convenience. That's entirely up to you. I'm just saying it so that you're aware of this. Now, with that, I am happy to say the theory is done. So, let's do a practical command. It's been a while since we've done one of those. So, the command I want to talk to you about today is called ifconfig. Not going to go through it in detail, because there's a lot of detail here. But basically, this command shows you how the network on your machine is configured. So, simply at the terminal, type ifconfig, which is ifconfig, hit return, and some information will come scrolling by. At first glance, it's going to look a lot of it like gibberish, until you start looking more closely at it, and you start to see things that you should recognize. You will notice there are IP addresses in there. You will notice, perhaps, that there are MAC addresses in there. Now, they're not all labeled as you might expect, which is, unfortunately, something that happens a lot with old Unix terminal commands. So, next week, we're going to go through each of these entries. But for now, it's just a little curiosity, have a quick look at the output of ifconfig, and hope that some of it makes sense. And with any luck, by the end of the next episode, it will all make sense. That's certainly my aim for the next episode, is to make the output of ifconfig make sense. The reason I'm starting here is because if I'm troubleshooting someone who's saying, I have trouble connecting to the network, this is my step one. Get the facts. That's what this command does. It just tells you the facts. This is how this machine is configured to talk to the network. Something may show up there. It may show up in fact that there isn't a single network interface working. Not a single network interface turned on. Ah, well, that will certainly explain network connectivity issues. It will show you what IP address you have, and from there you can begin to expand your troubleshooting with other commands we're going to talk about in later weeks. So as I say, ifconfig, and I'm going to leave it there for now, and going to take up from that point the next time. So, until then, happy computing.